When you got out of bed this morning, were you anticipating coming to church? Were you really looking forward to being here and worshiping God and fellowshipping with fellow saints? Or were you wishing you could just lay up in bed? You know, I have to admit, in times past, there have been times that I wished that I could have just laid up in bed, but that's certainly not a very good attitude for a Christian to have about worshiping God. A Christian should be zealous when it comes to worshiping God and diligent when it comes to seeking God. A Christian should be ready to run the race that is set before them. They should have a strong, enthusiastic desire to run and win that race. You know, if a runner approaches the starting line of a race and he or she has not properly prepared themselves, both body and mind, and is not ready to run the race, then they're not going to run a very good race. That runner must have a strong, enthusiastic desire to run, and especially to win the race, or they will not place well at the finish. The same thing applies to the Christian life. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." You know, although it takes patience for us to run the race that we're in, because it's a long distance race, we need a strong, enthusiastic desire to run a good race and to obtain the prize. Paul expresses the need of sparing no effort of exertion to win the race. So let's take a look into our hearts this morning to see if we've got a strong, enthusiastic desire that it takes to win the race before us. When you looked up at the board this morning and you saw this question, "Are you hungry and thirsty?" what came to your mind? Did you think back to a breakfast? Did you have biscuits and gravy this morning, or maybe eggs or pancakes, or did you think back to that and say, "Well, I wished I'd had one more biscuit and maybe one more cup of coffee before I came this morning"? Or maybe you came in and sat down and you thought, "I wished I'd have got another drink before I came in and sat down, but I hate to get up and go back there and get one now." Or did that question cause you to think ahead toward lunchtime? You got to wondering, "Well, what am I going to eat at lunch? Will I go to Maxie's or Mel's, or will I go to Kim's? I wonder where I'll go eat at lunch." You know, it's only natural for us to think about food and drink when we see the words "hungry" and "thirsty." Except in this setting, in the assembly of the church, unless you're a little child or a baby, you shouldn't be thinking about food or drink. You shouldn't be thinking about eating or drinking, unless you're considering the Lord's table. When you're in this setting, you ought to be thinking about being hungry and thirsty for truth and righteousness. And why would I say that? Because Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, when we're in this setting, in the assembly of the church, we ought to be thinking about that, about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Well, where do we look in order to search for righteousness? Where do we look to search for truth? we go to the Word of God, don't we? Because the Word of God is truth. And it's only in truth, in the truth, that we can quench our hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is where that strong, enthusiastic desire comes in. You see, if we hunger and thirst after something with a strong, enthusiastic desire for that thing, and sometimes that hunger is marked with impatience. Most of us can hide impatience, but you consider a little child, an infant. It's like they've got this built-in alarm that goes off when they get hungry and thirsty. And sometimes it gets kind of annoying. But that's a natural thing. When a baby gets hungry and thirsty, that's their way of telling you that they're hungry and thirsty. And as a child grows older, they learn that that's the way they get things. And so when they have a hunger and thirst when they get a little older, they're going to cry and whine a little bit. You know, Debbie and I don't have any children at home anymore, but we do have a dog. And occasionally our grandchildren come. And my dog is just like a little child when it comes to being hungry and thirsty. He thinks every time I go in the kitchen that he's supposed to eat too. And so he loves chips. And if he sees me going there with a bag of chips, he stands at the door looking through the glass and barks at me. And he'll bark until I come give him some chips or go get on to him or send him outside or something. He's real animated when he does that. And that's how we ought to be when we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We ought to have that strong, enthusiastic desire for the Word of God, for righteousness. Now, let's don't get that confused with being self-righteous, like the scribes and Pharisees are talked about. There's a big difference. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." The Bible here is talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. They were both righteous before God, the Bible says, walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. And to me, this is as good a definition of righteousness as I found. Webster's does say that righteousness is actions in accord with divine law or freedom from guilt or sin, sinlessness. So if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to have a strong, enthusiastic desire to walk after the commandments and ordinances of the Lord in a blameless and in a sinless fashion. We find a woman in the Bible in Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. It says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." This was a woman named Anna. She was a prophetess. And she became a widow very early, at a very early young age. And the Bible says that she devoted herself to being righteous before the Lord for many years. She stayed in the temple, departed not from the temple, but not in the temple, but outside the temple, I suppose. And she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was now 84 years old. If we remember that rich young ruler that came running to Jesus to inquire about eternal life. This man seemed to have a strong, enthusiastic desire to have eternal life. Mark 10 and verse 17 says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" He seemed to hunger and thirst for the words of eternal life. Yet his lack of readiness to act on what he was told by Jesus affirmed that he was more athirst than he was thirsty. He had a yearning to have it, but the sacrifice he would have to make was greater than the readiness to do what he was told he would need to do to get it. He was disappointed and sad to learn that to gain eternal life, he would have to give up the things that he coveted, which undoubtedly were the most important things in life to him. Is that how we are? Do we come to the assembly hungry and thirsty for righteousness, that when we find out what we have to do to give up some worldly things and make a change in our lives, are we disappointed with the truth? Folks, this is just part of living the Christian life. We have to give up things when they conflict with what Christ wants. And we should be ready to give up worldly things for salvation, because salvation is the most valuable thing that we can receive. That's part of being righteous. In Luke chapter 21, we'll shift gears a little bit here. In verse 38, the Bible says, "And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him." Jesus was going to be in the temple to preach and to talk. The words in this passage indicate that the people had a strong, passionate desire to hear Jesus speak his words of truth. They knew he would only be in the temple during the daytime, and they were so anxious to hear him speak, they came early so as not to miss a word that he had to say. Why is it that we are not all that punctual when it comes to getting to the services of the church? We're punctual when we want to get a good seat at a ball game. We're punctual when we want to get a good seat at the movie. Are we just not as hungry for and thirsty for righteousness as we are for entertainment? We see people all the time who get up early in the morning and go and sit and stand for hours just to buy tickets to a concert or to a sporting event, or even get up and stand outside a store early in the morning on Black Friday. People even do it on Sunday morning when they should be in church. You know, imagine what it would be like if people were so hungry and thirsty for righteousness that everybody would just show up at church. They'd just be running out the doorways. You know, we'd have to tear that wall down back there and open up the cafeteria, make it part of the auditorium, because we couldn't get everybody in here. Or we might have to tear this building down and build a bigger building just to accommodate everybody. But life just is not that way. Not everybody's going to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Would it make any difference if Jesus himself was going to be here to speak? Would we be so anxious to hear what he had to say that we would get here early, so early that we could get a good seat and not miss a single word that he was going to say? You know something, brothers and sisters? Jesus speaks to us every time we come to the assembly. He speaks through his word. And yet, we don't consider that. We think of it very lightly sometimes. You know, I believe Jesus is here today. Well, why would I think that? How could I think that or know that? Well, Jesus said in His Word, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. So I believe He's here today. Do we ever think about that? That Jesus is here today? What if the bridegroom came today? Would we be late and miss entering in the door because we thought there was no way that He could come today? Just how hungry and thirsty are we? We find in John chapter 4 and verse 40, even the Samaritans seemed to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. It says there, so when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. The Scripture says that they besought Him, or they begged Him. They earnestly pleaded with Him to stay around and teach them. You know, Jesus didn't just go into that city by happenstance. He was passing by and went to a well to get a drink, and He began to teach a woman there. And she went into town and said, hey, I've met the Christ out. He's out there at a well. She told them all about Him. And so they had to go out and see this for themselves, and they besought Him to come into town and stay several days. They were so hungry and thirsty for His words, they went so far as to break tradition by asking a Jew to stay in the city. You know, the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. And you know, it was a strange invitation for a Samaritan village to give to a Jew. And they not only invited Him, they begged Him. They were so hungry and thirsty for the truth. And it was even stranger for a Jew to accept such an invitation from Samaritans. But Jesus wasn't just any Jew. He was the Son of God. And Jesus was there to speak His word to the Samaritans because they besought Him to. He came to bring righteousness to the world by His word. The Bible says here in John chapter 4 that many of them believed on Him because of the saying of the woman that Jesus taught at the well. And many more believed on Him because of His own words. The Bible says they said, we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Their enthusiastic desire to hear the truth from Jesus not only confirmed their belief in what they had heard from the woman, but it was instrumental in helping many more believe on Him. You know, I know things are somewhat different these days, but perhaps if we would display such a desire for the truth, we could help others to believe on Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, we read about a man named Cornelius, a man that was a Gentile, not one of the chosen people of God. In verse 33, the Bible says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, this is Cornelius talking, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Note the urgency with which Cornelius sent for Peter. He said, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. He had that strong, enthusiastic desire that it takes to hear the truth and the righteousness of God. He didn't hesitate one minute. He didn't question what the angel told him to do. He was so hungry and thirsty for righteousness that he told two servants and a devout soldier all things that he had seen in the vision. He didn't worry that they would tell someone else or tell him that he was crazy, thinking that Israel's God would be interested in him. He put things right into motion. The Bible says in verse 2 that Cornelius was a devout man. Am I going backwards? I guess I am. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius had not become a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he was still trying to worship the one true and living God. And because he was a benevolent man and a man of prayer, his prayers and alms were noted by God. You know, Cornelius had been trying to worship God for some time. And when he was given the opportunity, he seized it. And immediately he sent for Peter. He was hungry and thirsty for the truth. The fact that he was a Gentile didn't keep him from seeking the truth. Think about it. How many of us are Jews? One of the chosen people of God. You know, we ought to be thankful that Christ died for us. We ought to be hungry for truth and righteousness of Christ. What did Cornelius do? Well, he and his house heard the truth concerning the righteousness of God and obeyed it. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. And that was a great example for Gentiles to follow. And it wasn't long before other Gentiles were following in the example of Cornelius. In Acts 13, verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You know, Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch teaching the gospel. And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles caught them and besought them that the same words might be preached to them on the next Sabbath. Again, we see that word besought. That means that they earnestly pleaded with them to stay around for another week, so that they could hear those words that he preached to the Jews. What was it that Jesus told the Jews? That Paul and Barnabas told the Jews? He told them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He preached to them the gospel. Did the Jews believe? No. They didn't believe. Paul told them in verse 41, though he declared unto them, they would in no wise believe. What about the Gentiles? When they stayed around for a week and preached to them the next Sabbath, did they believe? Well, let's read Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. We'll read to verse 48. And the next Sabbath they came, almost the whole city together, to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You know, we are all Gentiles that have been given the opportunity for salvation because the Jews rejected the word of God. Should we thank the Jews for rejecting Jesus? No. We ought to pray for them. We ought to pray that they will be converted. We should be glad for us and glorify the word of the Lord as those Gentiles did on that day. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bible, speaking of the Bereans, says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. Look at what the writer says about these people. He says they were more noble. In other words, they were more famous. They were notable for their deeds. Why? Because not only did they receive the word with an open mind, an open heart, but they searched the scriptures daily. How many of us can say that we do that? That we may receive it with an open mind, but do we search the scriptures daily like they did? They didn't just go home and from the synagogue and throw their Bible on the shelf or on the table and then pick it up when it was time to go to the assembly again. They searched the scriptures daily. How zealous are we when it comes to searching the scriptures? Probably not so zealous that we will be praised for being more noble than someone else. I must admit that I don't pick up my Bible as often as I should. I don't do it every day. And I don't search the scriptures like I should. But we ought to all be ready to pick up our Bibles on a daily basis and search the scriptures with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Ask yourself, do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are we full of righteousness from searching the scriptures? Or are we self-righteous? Because we think that we know everything that we need to know to be saved. I'm afraid I fall way short for a man my age. You know, a man my age, I think I've been in the church for 40 years. And I should be able to quote the whole New Testament. But I can't. How about you? Are you satisfied with your knowledge of the truth? I want to exhort you younger people here this morning to seize the opportunities that you have to search the scriptures. You need to develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, so that you'll want to search the scriptures. Don't wait around until you're my age to realize that you've wasted a lot of years on things that can help you receive eternal life. You know, I'm at that awkward age, or I guess every age is awkward about some things, but I'm at that age where my thinker up here don't think so well. And I can't always recall from my memory banks things that I learned years ago. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I think if I would search the scriptures daily, every day of the last 40 years, I think I could remember some more readily the things that I need to remember. So you young people, don't wait until you're my age to realize you've wasted a lot of years on things that were not beneficial to your salvation. If you do, you'll find that it's hard to get those years back. You just can't catch up. As Christians, we ought to not only be ready to pick up our Bibles and search the Scriptures, we ought to do it with a strong, enthusiastic, passionate desire to be filled with righteousness. Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." One final verse, and we'll close. Psalms 1:1-2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." What is our delight this morning? Is it in the law of the Lord, or is it on things of this world? If it's in the law of the Lord, then we should be meditating on it day and night, filling our hearts with the righteousness of our Lord. Because only the righteous will stand in the judgment. And the Lord will only recognize the righteous.